He is not stingy with his grace. Coming to you from Riverside, California, this is the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. And podcasting since 2004, I'm your OG Godcaster, Steve Webb. This is the daily show where we're reading through the entire Bible in a year. It's History Tuesday, so we'll read 2 Chronicles 16 through 20. After the reading, I've got some comments, I've got an On This Date in Church History, and we'll have a time of prayer. I'm calling today's episode, How Does God See You? The show notes page for today's episode is at lifespringmedia.com/S12E286. As always, my email address is steve@lifespringmedia.com. Let's begin. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Baasha was king of Israel. He marched out against Judah. It was in the 36th year of Asa's rule over Judah. Baasha built up the walls of Ramah. He did it to keep people from entering or leaving the territory of Asa, the king of Judah. Asa took the silver and gold from among the treasures of the Lord's temple and his own palace. He sent it to Ben-Hadad. Ben-Hadad was king of Aram. He was ruling in Damascus. "Let's make a peace treaty between us," Asa said. "My father and your father had made a peace treaty between them. Now I'm sending you silver and gold. So break your treaty with Baasha, the king of Israel. Then he'll go back home." Ben-Hadad agreed with King Asa. He sent his army commanders against the towns of Israel. His army captured Ijon, Dan, Abel-Maim, and all the cities in Naphtali, where Baasha stored things. Baasha heard about it, so he stopped building up Ramah and left that place. Then King Asa brought all the men of Judah to Ramah. They carried away the stones and wood Baasha had been using. Asa used them to build up Geba and Mizpah. At that time, Hanani the prophet came to Asa, the king of Judah. He said to him, "You trusted the king of Aram. You didn't trust in the Lord your God. So the army of the king of Aram has escaped from you. The people of Cush and Libya had a strong army. They had large numbers of chariots and horsemen. But you trusted in the Lord, so he handed them over to you. The Lord looks out over the whole earth. He gives strength to those who commit their lives completely to him. You have done a foolish thing. From now on, you will be at war." Asa was angry with the prophet because of what he had said. In fact, he was so angry, he put him in prison. At that same time, Asa treated some of his own people very badly. The events of Asa's rule from beginning to end are written down. They are written in the records of the kings of Judah and Israel. In the 39th year of Asa's rule, his feet began to hurt. The pain was terrible. But even though he was suffering, he didn't look to the Lord for help. All he did was go to the doctors. In the 41st year of Asa's rule, he joined the members of his family who had already died. He was buried in a tomb. He had it cut out for himself in the city of David. His body was laid on a wooden frame. It was covered with spices and different mixtures of perfume. A huge fire was made to honor him. 2 Chronicles chapter 17. Jehoshaphat was the son of Asa. Jehoshaphat became the next king after him. He made his kingdom strong in case Israel would attack him. He placed troops in all the cities of Judah that had high walls around them. He stationed some soldiers in Judah. He also put some in the towns of Ephraim that his father Asa had captured. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat. That's because he lived the way King David had lived. He didn't ask for advice from the gods that were named Baal. Instead, Jehoshaphat obeyed the God of his father. He obeyed the Lord's command instead of the practices of Israel. The Lord made the kingdom secure under Jehoshaphat's control. All the people of Judah brought gifts to Jehoshaphat, so he had great wealth and honor. His heart was committed to living the way the Lord wanted him to. He removed the high places from Judah. He also removed the poles used to worship the female god named Asherah. In the third year of his rule, he sent his officials to teach in the towns of Judah. The officials were Ben-Hail, Obadiah, Zechariah, Nathanael, and Micaiah. Some Levites were with them. Their names were Shemaiah, Nethaniah, Zebadiah, Asahel, Shemiramoth, Jehonathan, Adonijah, Tobijah, and Tob-Adonijah, Elishama, and Jehoram, the priests, were also with them. They taught people all through Judah. They took the book of the law of the Lord with them. They went around to all the towns of Judah, and they taught the people. all the kingdoms of the lands around Judah became afraid of the Lord, so they didn't go to war against Jehoshaphat. Some Philistines brought to Jehoshaphat the gifts and silver he required of them. The Arabs brought him their flocks. They brought him 7,700 rams and 7,700 goats. Jehoshaphat became more and more powerful. He built forts in Judah. He also built cities in Judah where he could store things. He had large supplies in the towns of Judah. In Jerusalem, he kept men who knew how to fight well. Here is a list of them, family by family. From Judah, there were commanders of groups of 1,000. One of them was Adna. He commanded 300,000 fighting men. Another was Jehohanan. He commanded 280,000. Another was Amasiah, the son of Zichri. Amasiah commanded 200,000. He had offered to serve the Lord. From Benjamin, there were also commanders. One of them was Eliada. He was a brave soldier. He commanded 200,000 men. They were armed with bows and shields. Another was Jehozabad. He commanded 180,000 men. They were prepared for battle. These were the men who served the king. He stationed some other men in the cities all through Judah. The cities had high walls around them. 2 Chronicles chapter 18. Jehoshaphat had much wealth and honor, and he made an agreement with King Ahab through marriage. A few years later, Jehoshaphat went to visit Ahab in Samaria. Ahab sacrificed many sheep and cattle as a great feast to honor Jehoshaphat and the people with him. He encouraged Jehoshaphat to attack Ramoth in Gilead. Ahab, king of Israel, asked Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, "Will you go back with me to attack Ramoth in Gilead?" Jehoshaphat answered, "I will go with you, and my soldiers are yours. We will join you in the battle." Jehoshaphat also said to Ahab, "But first we should ask if this is the Lord's will." So King Ahab called 400 prophets together and asked them, "Should we go to war against Ramoth and Gilead or not?" They answered, "Go, because God will hand them over to you." But Jehoshaphat asked, "Isn't there a prophet of the Lord here? Let's ask him what we should do." Then King Ahab said to Jehoshaphat, "There is one other prophet. We could ask the Lord through him, but I hate him. He never prophesies anything good about me, but always something bad. He is Micaiah, son of Imla." Jehoshaphat said, "King Ahab, you shouldn't say that." So Ahab, king of Israel, told one of his officers to bring Micaiah to him at once. Ahab, king of Israel, and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, had on their royal robes and were sitting on their thrones at the threshing floor near the entrance to the gate of Samaria. All the prophets were standing before them, speaking their messages. Zedekiah, son of Canaanah, had made some iron horns. He said to Ahab, "This is what the Lord says. You will use these horns to fight the Arameans until they are destroyed." All the other prophets said the same thing. "Attack Ramoth in Gilead and win, because the Lord will hand the Arameans over to you." The messenger who had gone to get Micaiah said to him, "All the other prophets are saying King Ahab will win. You should agree with them and give the king a good answer." But Micaiah answered, "As surely as the Lord lives, I can tell him only what my God says." When Micaiah came to Ahab, the king asked him, "Micaiah, should we attack Ramoth in Gilead or not?" Micaiah answered, "Attack and win. They will be handed over to you." But Ahab said to Micaiah, "How many times do I have to tell you to speak only the truth to me in the name of the Lord?" So Micaiah answered, "I saw the army of Israel scattered over the hills like sheep without a shepherd. The Lord said, 'They have no leaders. They should go home and not fight.'" Then Ahab, king of Israel, said to Jehoshaphat, "I told you, he never prophesies anything good about me, but only bad." But Micaiah said, "Hear the message from the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne with his heavenly army standing on his right and on his left. The Lord said, 'Who will trick King Ahab of Israel into attacking Ramoth in Gilead, where he will be killed?' Some said one thing, some said another. Then one spirit came and stood before the Lord and said, 'I will trick him.' The Lord asked, 'How will you do it?' The spirit answered, 'I will go to Ahab's prophets and make them tell lies.' So the Lord said, 'You will succeed in tricking him. Go and do it.'" Micaiah said, "Ahab, the Lord has made your prophets lie to you, and the Lord has decided that disaster should come to you." Then Zedekiah, son of Kenaanah, went up to Micaiah and slapped him in the face. Zedekiah said, "Has the Lord's Spirit left me to speak through you?" Micaiah answered, "You will find out on the day you go to hide in an inside room." Then Ahab, king of Israel, ordered, "Take Micaiah and send him to Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son. Tell them I said to put this man in prison and give him only bread and water until I return safely from the battle." Micaiah said, "Ahab, if you come back safely from the battle, the Lord has not spoken through me. Remember my words, all you people." So Ahab, king of Israel, and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, went to Ramoth in Gilead. King Ahab said to Jehoshaphat, "I will go into battle, but I will wear other clothes so no one will recognize me. But you wear your royal clothes." So Ahab wore other clothes, and they went into battle. The king of Aram ordered his chariot commanders, "Don't fight with anyone, important or unimportant, except the king of Israel." When these commanders saw Jehoshaphat, they thought he was the king of Israel, so they turned to attack him. But Jehoshaphat began shouting, and the Lord helped him. God made the chariot commanders turn away from Jehoshaphat. When they saw he was not King Ahab, they stopped chasing him. By chance, a soldier shot an arrow, which hit Ahab, king of Israel, between the pieces of his armor. King Ahab said to his chariot driver, "Turn around and get me out of the battle, because I'm hurt." The battle continued all day. King Ahab held himself up in his chariot and faced the Arameans until evening. Then he died at sunset. 2 Chronicles chapter 19. Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, came back safely to his palace in Jerusalem. Jehu, son of Hanani, a seer, went out to meet him and said to the king, "Why did you help evil people? Why do you love those who hate the Lord? That is the reason the Lord is angry with you. But there is some good in you. You took the Asherah idols out of this country, and you have tried to obey God." Jehoshaphat lived in Jerusalem. He went out again to be with the people from Beersheba to the mountains of Ephraim, and he turned them back to the Lord, the God of their ancestors. Jehoshaphat appointed judges in all the land, in each of the strong, walled cities of Judah. Jehoshaphat said to them, "Watch what you do, because you are not judging for people, but for the Lord. He will be with you when you make a decision. Now let each of you fear the Lord. Watch what you do, because the Lord our God wants people to be fair. He wants all people to be treated the same, and he doesn't want decisions influenced by money." And in Jerusalem, Jehoshaphat appointed some of the Levites, priests, and leaders of Israelite families to be judges. They were to decide cases about the law of the Lord and settle problems between the people who lived in Jerusalem. Jehoshaphat commanded them, "You must always serve the Lord completely, and you must fear him. Your people living in the cities will bring you cases about killing, about teachings, commands, rules, or some other law. In all these cases, you must warn the people not to sin against the Lord. If you don't, he will be angry with you and your people. But if you warn them, you won't be guilty. Amariah, the leading priest, will be over you in all cases about the Lord. Zebediah, son of Ishmael, a leader in the tribe of Judah, will be over you in all cases about the king. Also, the Levites will serve as officers for you. Have courage. May the Lord be with those who do what is right." 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Later, the Moabites, the Ammonites, and some Maonites came to start a war with Jehoshaphat. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, "There is a large army coming against you from Edom. They are coming from the other side of the Dead Sea. They are already in Hazazon Tamar." Hazazon Tamar is also called En Gedi. Jehoshaphat became afraid, and he decided to ask the Lord what to do. He announced a time of fasting for everyone in Judah. The people of Judah came together to ask the Lord for help. They came from out of all the towns of Judah to ask for the Lord's help. Jehoshaphat was in the new courtyard of the Lord's temple. He stood up in the meeting of the people from Judah and Jerusalem and said, "Lord God of our ancestors, you are the God in heaven. You rule over all the kingdoms and all the nations. You have power and strength. No one can stand against you. You are our God. You forced the people living in this land to leave. You did this in front of your people Israel. You gave this land to the descendants of Abraham forever. Abraham was your friend. His descendants lived in this land and built a temple for your name. They said, "If trouble comes to us, the sword, punishment, sicknesses, or famine, we will stand in front of this temple and in front of you. Your name is on this temple. We will shout to you when we are in trouble. Then you will hear and save us. But now, here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. You would not let the Israelites enter their lands when they came out of Egypt. So the Israelites turned away and didn't destroy them. But see the kind of reward these people give us for not destroying them. They have come to force us out of your land that you gave to us. Our God, punish those people. We don't have the strength to stop this large army that is coming against us. We don't know what to do. We are looking to you for help." All the men of Judah stood before the Lord with their wives, babies, and children. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jehaziel, son of Zechariah. Zechariah was the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah. Jehaziel was a Levite from the family of Asaph. In the middle of the meeting, Jehaziel said, "Listen to me, King Jehoshaphat and everyone living in Judah and Jerusalem. The Lord says this to you. Don't be afraid or worry about this large army, because the battle is not your battle. It is God's battle. Tomorrow they will come up through the Ziz Pass. You must go down to them. You will find them at the end of the valley on the other side of the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight this battle. Just stand there and watch the Lord save you. Judah and Jerusalem, don't be afraid. Don't worry, because the Lord is with you. So go out to stand against those people tomorrow." Jehoshaphat bowed with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem bowed down before the Lord and worshipped him. The Levites from the Kohath family groups and the Korah family stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel. They sang very loudly. Early the next morning, Jehoshaphat's army went out to the desert of Tekoa. As they marched out, Jehoshaphat stood there saying, "Listen to me, men of Judah and Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will stand strong. Have faith in his prophets, and you will succeed." Jehoshaphat encouraged the men and gave them instructions. Then he had the temple singers stand up in their special clothes to praise the Lord. They marched in front of the army and sang, "Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love will last forever." As they began to sing and to praise God, the Lord set an ambush for the army from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come to attack Judah. The enemy was defeated. The Ammonites and the Moabites started to fight the men from Mount Seir. After they killed them, the Ammonites and Moabites turned on themselves and killed each other. The men from Judah arrived at the lookout point in the desert. They looked for the enemy's large army, but all they saw were dead bodies lying on the ground. There were no survivors. Jehoshaphat and his army came to take things from the bodies. They found many animals, riches, clothes, and other valuable things. It was more than Jehoshaphat and his army could carry away. There was so much that they spent 3 days taking everything from the dead bodies. On the fourth day, Jehoshaphat and his army met in the valley of Berakah. They praised the Lord, and that is why the people still call that place the Valley of Berakah. All the men from Judah and Jerusalem were very happy as they marched back to Jerusalem with Jehoshaphat in the front. The Lord made them very happy when he defeated their enemy. They entered Jerusalem with lyres, harps, and trumpets, and went to the temple of the Lord. People in all the surrounding kingdoms became afraid of God when they heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. That is why there was peace for Jehoshaphat's kingdom. His God brought him rest from the enemies that were all around him. Jehoshaphat ruled over the country of Judah. He was 35 years old when he became king, and he ruled 25 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shilhai. Like his father Asa, Jehoshaphat was good and did everything that the Lord wanted, except he did not destroy the high places. Also, the people did not turn back to the God their ancestors worshipped. Everything else Jehoshaphat did, from beginning to end, is written in the official records of Jehu, son of Hanani. It was copied and included in the book, The History of the Kings of Israel. Later on, King Jehoshaphat of Judah made an agreement with King Ahaziah of Israel. Ahaziah was very evil. Jehoshaphat joined with Ahaziah to make ships to go to the town of Tarshish. They built some ships at Ezion-Geber. There was a man from the town of Merisha named Eliezer, son of Dodavehu. He spoke against Jehoshaphat and said, "Jehoshaphat, since you have joined with Ahaziah, the Lord will destroy what you have built." The ships were wrecked, so Jehoshaphat and Ahaziah were not able to send them to Tarshish.
Well, King Jehoshaphat really got off on a good foot when he began his reign as king of Judah, didn't he? Chapter 17, 3 through 6 tells us, "The Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he followed the ways of his father David before him," meaning David his ancestor. As we read in chapter 16, King Asa was his actual father. The verses continue, "He did not consult the Baals, but sought the Lord of his father and followed his commands rather than the practices of Israel." So Jehoshaphat decided that he was going to be unlike some of the other kings and unlike the culture of his time. The scripture continues, "The Lord established the kingdom under his control, and all Judah brought gifts to Jehoshaphat so that he had great wealth and honor. His heart was devoted to the ways of the Lord. Furthermore, he removed the high places and the Asherah poles from Judah." Well, in removing these things, he demonstrated that he truly wanted to do what was right before the Lord, because in taking down these places, he would have made many people angry. But he cared more about pleasing God than in pleasing people. And then just after that section, we read that in addition, Jehoshaphat sent men throughout the kingdom to teach the people the law of God. You see, the people had to be taught God's law. Many had forgotten it or had never been taught. That's one of the reasons that they had Asherah poles in high places in the first place. Some of them didn't know any better. Well, Jehoshaphat was so serious about teaching people the law of the Lord that he sent a delegation of at least 16 highly qualified men around the country to do the teaching. And commentator Adam Clark wrote of this, "Thus the nation became thoroughly instructed in their duty to God, to the king, and to each other. They became, therefore, as one man, and against a people thus united on such principles, no enemy could be successful." And then, beloved, according to verse 10 of chapter 17, "The fear of the Lord fell on all the kingdoms of the land surrounding Judah so that they did not go to war against Jehoshaphat." Yes, they became as one man. They were united, and they were seen as unbeatable. Of course, as we read, Jehoshaphat was not a perfect king, but God is merciful. And in chapter 20, verse 32, we read, "He followed the ways of his father Asa and did not stray from them. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord." Well, we know from our reading that his father Asa was not perfect either, nor was King David. But all three of these men put their faith in God, and despite their failings, God says of them, they did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Now, beloved, if you're anything like me, when you fail to do that which you know God wants you to do, you have a tendency to beat yourself up. You get down on yourself. You let the enemy tell you that you're a hypocrite, a lousy Christian, a failure, that God is mad at you, that he can't use a person like you. Now, please don't understand. When we stumble, when we fall, it is good to face up to it. It's good to have remorse for our sin. That's the Holy Spirit bringing you to repentance. If we're not sorry for our sin, how can we be truly repentant? But as true as that is, it's also true that God wants to forgive us. He is not stingy with his grace. In Matthew 18, 21 and 22, we're told, "Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times?' And Jesus answered, 'I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. So you don't think that Jesus would have told Peter to forgive like that if he's not willing to do even more? All of us sin, beloved. We're still in these bodies of flesh. We're to strive to be perfect, but we're going to fail. And when we do, we must confess it, repent, humbly and joyfully accept his forgiveness, and then move on. Don't look back, look up. Even with failures, we can be a person about who it is said, they did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. What do you think? Go on over to lifespringmedia.com/S12E286 and tell me. Tomorrow's Wednesday, that means we're back in the Psalms. We'll read chapters 120 and 121.
And now, as the French say, it is time for Le Boost.
Boostergram.
I got kind of a surprise today. I got a Boostergram in from @MaryOscar. Who's that? That's the guy that runs the Fountain app. His name is Oscar Mary, and he sent 5,000 sats in. Thank you, Oscar. I appreciate it. God bless you. And remember yesterday I told you about a couple of Boostergrams I got from Sean of
San Pedro.
Remember he sent in 1, 2, 3, 4 sats? Well, today he sent in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 sats, 12,345 sats, and he said, "Happy birthday to Penelope." I'll have to set up a sats account for Penelope, won't I? Thank you, Sean, and God bless you. Your value for value donations are always welcome, whether they be in the form of sats or dollars. Just go to lifespringmedia.com/support. I'll thank you, and I think God will bless you. On this date in church history, June 14th, 1837, William C. Dix was born. Who was that? Well, he was an English businessman and a composer of several notable hymns, including "What Child Is This?" and "As With Gladness, Men of Old." Hey, thanks to those of you who wrote such nice notes of congratulations for the arrival of Penelope Mae Webb yesterday. They were very sweet, and I thank you for those. And my friend Ron is feeling much better today as his body's trying to get rid of COVID. Thank you for your prayers. Let's keep it up. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to be people who do what is right in your eyes. Thank you for understanding the struggle that we have. And thank you for providing Jesus as our Savior so that we can be seen as righteous, not because of anything we do, but entirely because of what Jesus did for us. We bow before you in worship, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. And we thank you for continuing to bring healing to Ron and Allie and Sean. Restore their strength in your perfect way and in your time, in Jesus' name. And I lift up Penny and Val and Tim to you, Lord. Keep your hand on them and bless them. And I thank you, Lord, for the LifeSpring family. Bless them today, too. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've got a prayer request or a praise, go to prayer.lifespringmedia.com and fill out the form you find there. I'll pray for you in my private prayer time, and we'll pray together on the show. Comment on the show at lifespringmedia.com/S12E286. Send me an email at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Kirsty, Sean of San Pedro, and Denise are the behind-the-scenes all-star team. Thanks, guys. Thanks to Oscar Mary for the boostergram. Thanks to Sean of San Pedro for that monster boostergram. And thank you for once again inviting me into your life today. Support the show at lifespringmedia.com/support. And until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. My name is Steve Webb. Bye.